Okay, we're going to start here on the bottom of Nun Ched Amud Bet, 11 lines up from the bottom, Tanu Rabbanan. So here the Gemara is discussing until this point about what goes first, what's the order, what are the hours, but underlying that was an assumption that we knew exactly what should go before what. And now the Gemara is going to discuss how do we know what should precede what are the limudim from the psukim, which is Tanu Rabbanan. Minayin shelo yehi davar kodem l'tamid shel shachar. How do we know the fact that nothing should go before the tamid shel shachar? Tamud Omar, the pasuk says, Varech Aleha Haula. So here you have a pasuk that's brought from the Parshat Trumat HaDeshen. In the Parshat Trumat HaDeshen, it says, Varech Aleha Haula. Then you're going to set up the Ula on it. My Tamudo, what's the limud from here that you know that that means that the Tamid Shel Shachar is first? So Amarava Ha Ula, Ula Rishona. So here you have what we otherwise know as the Hei Ayidia, that it says Ha Ula, the Ula. So what is the Olah that is going to go on top of the Maracha? Well, the Olah is the first Olah. Which one's the first Olah? That's the Tamid Shel Shachar. So it says here that the first thing that goes on the Maracha is the Tamid Shel Shachar. So from there we know that the Tamid Shel Shachar is the first thing that ends up on the Mizbeach. Then we have the secondary question, which is, Minayin Dein Davar Karei Vachar Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. We know that everything has to come after the Tamid Shel Shachar. How do we know that everything has to precede the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim? Because the pasuk says there, again, in Parshat HaDeshen, Biktir Alea Chelvei HaShilamim. And you will place upon it the fats of the Shlamim. My Talmudah. What is the limud here? So, Amar Abayi Aleha Shlamim. On it. On it, referring to the Ola, or the Ola Rishona, you should have all the fats of the Shlamim. Velo Achaveirta Shlamim. Anana's partner, his friend, the Shlamim, the partner of the Tamid Shel Shachar, is the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. That means all the fats of the Shlamim should end up on the first Ola. Matkif La Rava. Rava says, wait a minute. Eima Shlamim hu delo nakriv, haolot nakriv. You're narrowing the meaning or the definition here of what has to be on the Tamid Shel Shachar. You're saying that it has to do with the Shlamim, the fats of the Shlamim. Does that mean that the fats of an Ola do not have to be on the Tamid Shel Shachar? Maybe only fats of the Shlamim. Ela Amar Rava, Rava offers an alternative understanding, which is Hashlamim, from the word Shalem, to complete, which is Aleha Hashlem Kol Karbanot Kulan. On it, you shall complete all the Karbanot. That means on that Ha'ola, that first Ola, the Tamid Shel Shachar, you will complete all the Karbanot of the day. Meaning that after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, there are no Karbanot, because you must complete all Karbanot within the framework of the Tamid Shel Shachar before you bring the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. So that gives us the boundaries of the day in the Mikdash, which is that all Karbanot are going to be found between the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. So that gives us the bookends of the day. Now, we're going to discuss, obviously, the Korban of Pesach is an exception to that rule. And why is it an exception to that rule? Tanu Rabbanan, Tamid Kodem LePesach. The Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim precedes the Korban HaPesach. The Korban HaPesach comes after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, which would be an exception to the rule that we said before. Pesach Kodem LeKtoret, Uktoret Kodemet LeNeirot. So as the tail end of the day, on a day that's the 14th of Nisan, when you bring the Korban HaPesach, you would have the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, then the Pesach, then the Ktoret, the incense, and then the Neirot, the lighting of the Neirot, or the fixing of the Neirot, Machloket, and the Rishonim. So now, the Gemara explains, Yuchar Davar, Shnemaro Ba'erev Uben Arbaim. It should be delayed, we should push back something about which it says Erev and Ben Arbaim, which is the Korban HaPesach. The Korban HaPesach, in Parshat Re'eh, it says, Sham Tizbachet HaPesach Ba'erev. So there, you will bring it Ba'erev. And then in Parshat Bo, it says, so it has both the word Erev and Ben Arbaim used by it. The Davar, that should be after the item that only has Ben Arbaim associated with, which is the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, we know that the Pasuk tells us at the Keves HaSheni, Taseh Ben Arbaim. So there we only have Ben Arbaim. So by Pesach we have both Ben Arbaim plus we have Ha'erev. So that would tell us to be later than just the item that is Ben Arbaim, the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. So Gemara says, Yehochi, if that's the case, Ketoret v'Neirot nami nikad mu the Pesach. If that's the case, then the Ketoret and Neirot should also precede the Pesach. Yuchar davar shnero be'erev u'ben Arbaim. You should delay, tarry with the item that has Erev and Ben Arbaim in the Korban HaPesach. The Devar Shalom Ner Barbo Ela Ben Arbaim Bilvad versus the item that only has Ben Arbaim associated, which is the Neirot. The Halata Neirot is done Ben Harbaim. Also, you only have the word Ben Arbaim using there, not Erev. So if that was true, if that is the Limud, why isn't Korban Pesach the last thing brought? Why do we have it here? It's after the Tamid Shur Ben Arbaim, but still precedes the Neirot and the Toret. Shani Otam Dimeit Rachmono. But there we have a Miut in the Pasuk, which is Oto. Titania. The Pasuk says, Mi Erev Ad Boker, Irochato Oronu Vanav, Mi Erev Ad Boker, they place it on the Mizbeach. When it speaks about Menorah in the beginning of Parashat Tosafot, it says, Mi Erev Ad Boker. Tein La Midata, Shedei Doleke, Mi Erev Ad Boker. You have to give enough oil in it that it should light from night until morning. Devar Acher. In the Chabudah, Shekshira Mi Erev Ad Boker, Lezu Bilvad. There's only one avodah, which is kshera from evening until the morning, and that's this. My time, huh? Why is that true? Amar kra, yirochoto aronu v'nav mi'erev ad boker. There, when it speaks about the menorah, it says that they should place it on the menorah, they should assemble it and light it on the menorah, mi'erev ad boker. So now mi'erev ad boker, this is the only item that's going to run from night until morning. I mean, it's going to be the last thing there in the night, and it's going to be the first thing there in the morning. So because of that, we have the Neirot be at the end of the day. Oto, mi'erevad boker, ve'in tavar acher, mi'erevad boker. And that's that limud of Oto. Oto, it, the Neirot, are the only item that goes mi'erevad boker, the last thing in the Migdash and the first thing in the morning. There's no other mitzvah that's going to intervene between the Neirot at night and the Neirot in the morning. Now, what about the Ktoret? Ve'itkesh Ktoret le'Neirot. And the Ktoret has a hekesh between it and the Neirot. And that is because of the pasuk, which is found at the end of Parashat Tetzaveh. The end of Parashat Tetzaveh, when it talks about the Mizbeach HaZahav and Haktarat HaKtoret, it says over there, Uvahalot Aronet Aneirot Ben Arbaim Yachtirenu. Then when do you bring the Ktoret? At the time that Aronu Vanav bring the Neirot. So there's an association between the Neirot and the Ktoret. They are have a hekesh, they're juxtaposed in time and in the pasuk. And therefore, you would bring the Ktoret at the same time that you bring the Neirot, or you'd light the Neirot. Betanya Kikushian. We actually have a Braita that is like our question. Tamid, Kodem the Ktoret. Ktoret, Kodem the Neirot. Uneirot, Kodmo the Pesach. So we have a Braita that actually, based on our question, actually follows what we thought might have been the case, which is you first have the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, then you have the Ktoret, then the Neirot, and then you have the Pesach. So then you have Pesach being absolutely the last thing. Vaktiv Oto. What about the Oto that we had in our Limud that rejected that understanding from the Braita? Hayotomi Bayle the Mute Avodah Shibifnim. That Oto comes to exclude any other Avodah Shibifnim. The Neirot of the Menorah, as well as the Ktoret, are Avodah that are done in the Heichal. That's not avodah that's done on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, on the outer Mizbeach, the courtyard Mizbeach, the Mizbeach of the Chatzer, but rather in the inner sanctum, in the Heichal. So if that's the case, the Oto is only exclusionary of avodah done inside of the Heichal. It's not exclusionary of avodah done b'chutz. Umay nihu, what's the only thing there? Ktoret! Tzakadat chamin, I would have thought, ho v'ktiv, alo taron et neirot, ben arbam yakti renu. When they put the neirot on, you should do the ktoret. You would think, first light the candles. You would think, then light the Ktoret. It says, no, the Neirot will be the last thing that you do in the Heichal. Rather have Ktoret first and then Neirot. So then what does the Ben Arbaim Yaktireno teach you? And when you're lighting the Neirot, the Ktoret should already be burning on the Mizbeach HaZahav. Not that you first do the Neirot, then the Ktoret, but rather, the Ktoret should already be in place and doing its thing, meaning burning on the Mizbeach HaZahav when you light the Neirot. And that's the association between the Ktoret and the Neirot. Therefore, the order always is Ktoret, then Neirot. Whether in the first Braita that we brought, we have Pesach, then you have Ktoret, then Neirot. Or in this Braita that we brought now, which is first you had Ktoret, Neirot, then Pesach, then in that case also, the Ktoret always comes first, then Neirot. Question is, where does Pesach fit in the story? In the first Braita, and the way that we asked our question was that Pesach will end up between the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim and then the Ktoret and Neirot. The way the Braita that brought that supported our question, which we rejected in the end, was that the Pesach goes even after the Ktoret and the Neirot. There's only one thing that precedes the Tamid Shel Shachar, and that is the Ktoret. Shnemar ba, baboker, baboker. So there it says, baboker, baboker, dam ktoret, davar shenemar bo, baboker, baboker, something that has both twice the word boker mentioned by it, dechtiv, yikter alav aron ktoret simim baboker, baboker. Again, over there, by the Parshat Tetzaveh, which speaks about the ktoret, it says that the aron should bring it ktoret simim baboker, baboker. So the word boker is used twice, the davar shenemar bo, baboker echad. Tamid shel shachar is baboker. It only says that the kivis echad to say baboker, it doesn't say boker twice. So boker, boker goes first. And there's nothing that comes after the Tamid Shubanim except the Torah Neirot and the Pesach. Now there's an interesting case here, which is Umchusar Kippurim Pe'erev Pesach Shetuvel Shenit V'cholet Piskol De'erev. There's another exception to this rule, which is that someone who is missing his kapara in order to be tahor to bring the Korban of Pesach. So here you have an instance where an individual is on their eighth day, is Erev HaPesach. For instance, a Zav, or a woman who's a Zava, Yoledet. People who, Metzora, who have 7 days of Tumah, and then the eighth day they bring a Korban. We know that on the eighth day the bringing of their Korban is Ma'akev. It stops them from being in contact with Kodashim or eating Kodashim. So by the fact that they haven't brought that Korban will prevent them from partaking in the Korban HaPesach. So over here, that Korban that they bring on that 8th day is essential for them to bring the Korban on Pesach. What happens for whatever reason, they didn't or were not successful at bringing that Korban in the morning? The Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim is already brought, and now we're faced with an issue, which is, if they don't bring their Kapara, if they don't bring their Korban that is on the 8th day, they will not be permitted to partake in the Korban on Pesach. What the Gemara says here is that we waive the Isur of bringing a Korban after Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim in order to allow them to bring their korban kapara, meaning the 8th day, or mechusar kippurim, we allow them to bring their korban on that day. Now why we say tbilas shenit is a din derabonon. The din derabonon is that anybody has tum'ah for 7 days and then the 8th day brings a korban, on the 7th day they go to the mikveh, they become a tvul yom. Then the sun sets on the 7th day, and they become a mechusar kippurim, but they had, from tvul yom, now they had the shkiat hachama, which is, they have now had permission to partake in Truma. So when they become a Tavul Yom, they still cannot partake in Truma, but they can partake in Maser. That's when they have gone to the mikveh and the sun has yet to set. Right? Once they have the sun set on the 7th day, then they're mutar in Truma and in Maser already, but they're still asur in Kodashim until they bring their Korban on the 8th day. The Chachamim instituted that they go to the mikveh again before they bring their Mechusar Kippurim, they bring their Korban of Kapara. So here, this is what the Brita suggests over here, which is, so Mechusar Kippurim be'erev Pesach, Shetovel Shenit, that he goes to mikveh a second time, he brings his Kapara, Bechod Piskol Erev. Bishmo, Beno Shrub Yochan, Menbok Omer, Af Mechusar Kippurim, Mishayim Oto Shana, Shetovel Bechod Bekodashim Erev. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says that it applies to Mechusar Kippurim any time of the year, not just on Pesach, he can bring his Kapara even after the Tamid Shem Ben Arbayim. Now, Bishlam Odo Tanakama. So, David had a good question. Just let him remain Tamei. That'll prevent him from bringing the Korban of Pesach. He's precluded because he's Tamei, and he'll bring it on Pesach Sheni. Why not? The answer is you could do that, but we'd rather opt for him to do it on Pesach Rishon, and we have a dispensation for that. And what is that? Yavo Asei the Pesach, Sheesh Bo Karet, Vidche Asei the Hashlama. The Ein Bo Karet. You're gonna have here, you have an Asei versus an Asei. One assay is the Korban HaPesach, which is one of the two mitzvot assay that has a chiyuv karet associated with it. In the Gemara and Karetot, there are 36 karetot that are negative commandments, and there are two that are positive commandments, that is Milah and Pesach. So Pesach is one of the strongest, we'll call it, assays in the Torah, which is that it has an assay that's associated with a karet. Now, the reason you cannot bring something after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, we just had the limud over here, which is, Victer Alea Chovei HaShilamim. Aleha Hashleim Korbanot Kulam, which is again a positive commandment to bring all the Korbanot on the Tamid Shel Shachar, and not after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. So now I have a conflict between two assays. So we know from other places in Shas that assay doche lo tasei. But the Gemara suggests over here is that there's also a concept called assay doche assay. Here we have an assay that is chamur, that is stringent, that is of a chiyuv karet, and that will override the assay of bringing the korbanot prior to the Tamid Shem Ben Arbayim. Now, Tosafot asks a very basic question. We have a principle when it comes to assay doche lo tasei, it has to happen simultaneously. Meaning that when you accomplish the assay, you have to get also override the lo tasei. So for instance, tzitzit, bikilayim bitzitzit. At the moment that you're mekayim the mitzvah tzitzit, at that moment you have and you violate kilayim. So that's asay dochalot asay, because they are simultaneous. The asay overrides the kilayim. What we won't let you do is accomplish the asay and then have the lav be at a different time. I mean, that the asay overriding the lav has to be at a simultaneous, a single moment in time. They have to be coincidental. So now, what do we do here? The asay of bringing the mechusar kippurim is just allowing him now to bring the korban ha-pesach. So he is violating the asay of ashlama by bringing the mechusar kippurim before he's ever accomplishing the asay of korban ha-pesach. So how could you allow him to take the asay of korban pesach, override the asay of ashlama, but they're not simultaneous? So here Tosafot brings two answers. One is by the Riva. The Riva suggests that they already brought the korban pesach. He was part of a group that brought the korban pesach, and they already brought the korban for him. Now, he will be yotzei if he eats from that korban pesach. In order to make it accessible, or for him to have the ability to eat the korban pesach, he needs to have his mechusar kippurim. So at that moment that he brings the kapara, that makes the korban pesach accessible to him. He's accomplishing, it's making it possible for him to have that korban pesach that was already brought. So it really is happening simultaneously. That's one. The Ri has a very interesting approach. He says that that requirement of it being simultaneous is only true when you have an asay dochalotasay. Because a lotasay is more chamur. A lotasay, a negative commandment, is more stringent. And so when you're trying to override a lotasay, then you have this din of being simultaneous. But it's when an asay docha another asay, there is no such requirement. They do not have to be at the same time. They can actually be at different times. And therefore the Ri says that the asay here could be first, you have the asay of overriding the asay of hashlama, and only then accomplishing the asay of pesach, because that is enabling you to do it, and that's enough. By an asay docha, an asay, you don't have to have it simultaneous, you can even have it be sequential in nature. It's a very big chiddush of the Ri, but it gives us a different view of asay docha asay versus asay docha lo tasay. So now we said, okay, according to the Tanna Kamma, I understand why we override this assay, because you have a competing assay. You have the assay of Pesach, which has Karei with it, overriding the assay of Shlama. But the Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko says it applies all year round. My omei dahai assay, mehai assay. Why is there a greater assay in the consumption of Kodoshim, the need to eat Kodoshim, whether it's the Baalim, or whether it's the Kohanim that are eating the Kodoshim, which involves a mitzvah assay? We've discussed this in the past, I'm not going to get into it today, about the Chakira in the mitzvah assay of Kodoshim, as whether there is a specific mitzvah on every Kohen, a specific mitzvah on the Baalim, or is there just a collective mitzvah to ensure the Kodoshim are eaten, but it doesn't devolve on any individual? It's one of those two, but there is a mitzvah asay to consume the kodashim. So what is greater about this asay of eating kodashim than there is about making sure that there's nothing that goes after the tamid shel ben arbayim? So Amar Ravina, Amar Rav Chista, ocha b'chatat ha'of askinan. Over here we're dealing with the chatat ha'of, she'en l'mizbeach el adama. Because the mizbeach, with regards to a chatat ha'of, only gets the dam. So the restriction, and this is important in a broader sense, I'll explain it in one second, is that the restriction here is v'ktir aleha chalvei ashelamim. All haktarot have to be done by the tamid shel shachar. Haktara means placement of something onto the mizbeach, on the fire of the mizbeach. By the chatat ha'ov only has the dam which goes on the wall of the mizbeach, kir mizbeach. Nothing goes on top of the mizbeach. There's no haktara of the chatat ha'ov. So that's not a violation of aleha shalem korbanot kulam. There's no violation of it because there's no haktara. The haktara is the only thing that can be problematic. And that's what Tosafot notes over here before. He says, how come the Gemara here never asks about certain items that come before, including the Trumat HaDeshen? His answer is because the only restriction is Haktara. The only restriction is something that deals with Haktara. Putting on the Maracha, on the Mizbeach, doing the Trumat HaDeshen, those are avodot that go before the Tamid Shel Shachar, but they don't involve Haktara. Since they don't involve Haktara, they're not a problem preceding the Tamid. Haktara is the only thing that has to be in that bookends between Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. So because of that, the chatat ha'ov is not a violation of the assay of hashlama. And so because of that, he can bring his mechusarei kapara, he can bring it afterwards, the chatat ha'ov that he can bring afterwards. Rav Papa Amar, afilu teima b'chatat beima. Even with chatat beima, male umelina b'roshu shel mizbeach. You bring the korban and you leave it on the top of the mizbeach. Meaning that when you bring the chatat, you sprinkle the dam on the mizbeach, but you're not maktir the animal on the mizbeach that night. Meaning after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. You wait until the morning. Now, if you wait until the morning, you have a problem of what's called lina. You're not allowed to leave things in the Mikdash overnight. If you leave them overnight, they become pasul. There is an exception to that rule, which is something that is on the Mizbeach, or touching the Mizbeach. Anything that touches the Mizbeach is given the exemption that it can be carried overnight for the next day. So what Rav Papa's suggestion is, bring the Chatat, and when you bring the Chatat, you will also leave it over until the morning by leaving it on the Mizbeach. So you'll do the sprinkling of the dam then, that'll clear him to be Tahor. He'll now be Tahor and be able to partake or participate in the Korban HaPesach, but the Haktarah on the Mizbeach, you'll delay. You'll delay it until the next day by leaving the Karban on the Mizbeach, and then leave it overnight until the next morning, and then put it on the Mizbeach after the Tamid Shel Shachar. Mar says, wait a minute. Let's talk about the different Mechusurei Kupurim that we're talking about here. If you're talking about a Yoledet, over there, Yoledet brings a Chatat Of. So in that case, that's not what he's speaking about. The Zav also brings an Of. The only Korban, or the one who brings a Chatat, is a Mitzorah. So by a Mitzorah, that's not the only Korban that he's bringing. Now there's two. There's a Mitzorah Shir, and there's a Mitzorah Ani. Brings an Olah and a Chatat from birds, and brings an Asham from the Behemah. The Mitzorah Shir brings everything as animals. That means he brings the Asham, the Olah, and the Chatat all from animals. So the person that we have to be talking about here, if he's bringing the Chatat, is a Mitzorah. Talking about a Mitzorah, that's not the only Korban he needs to bring. It's not just a Chatat. What about the Asham, right? What about the Olah? He has two other Korbanot that have to end up in the Zbeach, and that's what the Gemara asks. He goes, wait, Ba'ik Asham! When it comes to the other Mechusarei Kapara, like the Yoledet, like the Zav, like the Zavah, when they bring a Chatat Of as their Korban, then the matching Korban that they bring along with it is an Olah. Now, as far as an Olah is concerned, we could see the possibility that it would not be Ma'akev their Kapara, so we're not worried about it. But when it comes to the Mitzorah, even the Mitzorah Ani, who brings a Chatat Of for his Chatat, still has an Asham that he has to bring as a Behemah. And we're certain over there that the Asham is critical or essential to the Tarata Mitzorah, because it's part of the whole process of Tarata Mitzorah. You take the blood from the Asham and you put it on the ears and on the thumbs and toes of the Mitzorah. There's a whole process involved in the Asham, so it's clearly critical to the Tarata Mitzorah. And therefore, the Gemara here is focused on the Mitzorah, because here we find a Chatat Of, but not just a Chatat Of, it involves another Korban, which includes a Korban Behemak, the Asham, which is going to present the problem.
Bishlam al Rav Papa, hainu damalin lo. Okay, according to Rav Papa, what do? You leave it overnight. El Rav Chista, ma'ika the meimar. According to Rav Chista, who answered that you allow, there's an exemption for Chatat Of, what are you going to do? Again, by Mitzorah Ani, you have Olah and Chatat that are birds, and then you have an Asham, which is a Behemak. So the Chatat Of he took care of. But he still has the Asham that's a Behemah, no matter what. The Asham is always a Behemah for the Mitzorah Ani or Ashir. Now, for the Mitzorah Ani, Rav Papa's solution is going to be the same one again, which is, just like by the Chatat, he sprinkles the blood and leaves it over, the Asham too, he's going to sprinkle the blood and then leave it over. So Amar Shekarev Ashamo. He brought the Asham already. He finished with the Asham before the Tamid Shiva Nirvayim. He just didn't bring his Chatat until afterwards. Vayika Ola. So he said, Rav says, what about Olah? V'chi tema Olah lo me'akva. Let's just say the Olah is not me'akev. V'atanya, Rav Shmuel ben Osher b'Yochanan Baruch Omer, Shem shechata tova, Shemo me'akvim oto, kacha lato me'akva oto. All the karbanot are me'akev. V'chi tema, so what do you say, b'sher karval oto? He brought the Olah already also. Why not? Mi karval oto, kodem l'chatato, Rishon. Wait a minute, can you bring the Olah before the Chatat? This is David's question, which is, wait a minute, isn't there some order that has to be done here? The answer is yes. There is an order, which is that the Chatat must precede the Olah. Vatanya, we have a braita, it says, by the Karban Oleh V'Yoreid. Karban Oleh V'Yoreid, which is found in Parshat Vayikra. Over there, again, it's a Karban that moves with the economic ability of the person to pay. It says there, V'Yikrivet Asher L'Chatat Rishona. You bring the first one of the Karbanot, or the birds, as a Chatat. Matam Alomar, what is it teaching us? In La Meche, to commit them at the Ola, if it's coming to teach us that it has to precede the Ola, or Igvar Neamar, the Pasuk also says, Veta Sheni, Yase Ola, Kamishpat. The second one you make an Ola. So why do you have to tell me the first one's a Chatat, and also tell me the second one's an Ola? One of those two is extraneous. If you tell me the second one's an Ola, I know the first one's a Chatat. Or if you tell me the first one's a Chatat, I know the second one's an Ola. So why do you tell me that information twice? One is first and one is second. Elzeb Ne'af. It's basically a paradigm for any time you have an Ola and a Chatat together. The Chol Chataot, Sheikodmot, the Chololot, Abaot Imahem. That any time in the Torah you have a Chatat and an Ola, the Chatat always precedes the Ola. Vikaimalan, Dafilu Chatat Of, Kodemet Olat Behemah. Maybe this would have been an exception. That might be when you're competing Behemot, competing animals. But here you bring in an Of versus a Behemah. Of versus a Behemah is a lower form of Karban. So maybe I would say that Korban Olah should go first when it's a behema, and not the Chatat Of. We have an answer here. No, that the Chatat, Shehu Kodmo L'Chol Olot Abot, even by Chatat Of. Chatat Of is going to precede the Olah. So period. That's the rule. So Amarova, Shiny Olat Mitzorah, the Olat Mitzorah has an exception to the rule, the Rachmana Amar. The Pasuk says, the Olah Kohen et HaOlah, that the Kohen will place the Olah. So Hela Olah is not the best Lashon it could have used. It should say, Bet Olah Yaleh. What does it mean? That the Olah he will then place on the Mizbeach. What does it mean, Behela Olah? That it sounds like the Olah is already there. It's already on the Mizbeach. Behela Olah, Shuhela Kvar. That it was already placed on Mizbeach. So because of, now this is not the Chatchila. The Chatchila, we'd still want the Chatat to go before the Olah. But Bidieved, by the Mitzorah, you can switch them around because of the puzzle which says Behela. Hela means that the Olah can already be on the Mizbeach, and then you have the Chatat going on the Mizbeach. So the answer is, for Rav Papa, if you're bringing the Korbanot here, according to Rav Papa, you bring them all from Behemot, and put the blood on Mizbeach, and whatever you need to get on Mizbeach, you put on the Mizbeach, and leave it over till the morning, and then get on Mizbeach, Havetam et Shoshachar, clear. Rav Chisda, who says this is an exception to the rules, is the Chatat Of. So how does he explain this case of Mitzorah? Well, the case of Mitzorah, he says what he did was, before the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, he brought his Asham, and he brought his Olah. He was done with all the Haktarot before the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. The only thing left over was his Chatat Of. And that he brought after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, and there it's not a problem, because there's no Haktarah. There's nothing that goes on the Mizbech. It's just the Dam, nothing that goes on the top of the Mizbech. So that's why it works for him, because he'll have the Chatat Of be the only thing left over. And again, this is an exception to the rule that a Chatat always goes before an Olah. That's unique to Mitzorah because of the Pasuk Ve'ela Olah. That you can place the Olah, meaning that the Olah is already on the Mizbech She'olah Kivar. So I'm Rav Shem Barabba L'Rav Papa. Rav Shem Barabba asks Rav Papa about his position. L'didach Tamart, Maleu Melina Barosh Hashem Mizbech, Kayamin. Wait a minute. I don't understand. You're going to just leave it on the Mizbech overnight? Ve'abdin and Milta the Kohanim, Da'atu B'lidei Takala. What are the Kohanim? How are they going to know that this Korban is not going to belong to go on the Mizbeach at night? In general, they had tons of stuff that was left over from the day that they put on the Mizbeach at night. That's the Ivarim Darim. Ma'ariv is connected Ivarim Darim, which is all the leftover stuff that needed to go on the Mizbeach that didn't finish up in the day. They sprinkled the blood on Mizbeach. They put on whatever was supposed to go on the Mizbeach. They put in overnight. They went on the Mizbeach. Here you can have these items laying around on the Mizbeach. And the Kohanim, normally, when they see things lying around, they put it on the Mizbeach, because they think it's from that day. So now they're going to leave it, and they're going to say, oh, don't touch this stuff, or they're going to have it marked. How are they going to know? You're putting something in place that's going to cause the takala. The Savrid Yomeyu, they're going to think it belongs to today's Korbanot. Vatu Dikture, and they're going to put it on the Mizbeach. Says Amalei, Kohanim's Rizim, hey, we don't worry about it. The Kohanim's Rizim, they're going to be aware of the fact that this is, right, they know how to demarcate these as being separate. They don't go on the Mizbeach. They'll make sure that it's not a problem. Somebody Rav Ashi, the Rav Gano, Vamila Rav Huna Bray, the Rav Not, and the Rav Papa, the Ha Kamadol Miktere Emurin. Wait a minute, as long as the Emurim don't end a Mizbeach, Kohanim lo Matzeach le Basar. The Kohanim can't eat the Korban, because the Tanya, we have the Pasuk in Parshat Tzav, that deals with the Matnot that come from the Shlamim. With the Korban Shlamim, a portion of it ends up in the Mizbeach, that's the Chalamim, the fats that go on the Mizbeach. Portion of it goes to the Kohen, that's the Chazen Shok, those are the Matnot that the Kohen gets from it. Then the remainder of the basar is given to the baalim to eat. Those are, everybody participates in the shlamim. So in the parshat Tzav, when it discusses the matnot of the kohanim of chazen shok, it says this, Yochu ye kohanim rasha'im b'chazen v'shok kodem akterat emurim. You would think that the kohanim get their matnot from the shlamim, and they could eat them prior to the mizbeach getting its piece, which is the emurim, the fats from the inside. You think that worked, Tamadomar. Biktira kohen et achelev ha-mizbecha. And the pasuk continues, Vadar v'ya chazel aron u'banav. The when do they get the chazeh? They get it after Victor Kohen Techilev HaMizbecha. After the fats end up in the Mizbech, then the Kohanim can eat. Okay, so the fats are in the Mizbech, the Kohanim can eat their chazeh and shok. No problem, they'll eat it tomorrow. Why is that a big deal? Come, the Kohanim lo achlei basar, balim lo mitkapre. As long as the Kohanim don't eat the basar, can't he partake of it, they don't get kapara. Why? The Tanya. V'achlu otam asher kupar behem. This is by the korbanot of the miluim. By the ayil, or the el ha-miluim, it says over there, that the ron of anav eat it, and it says, v'achu otam asher kupar behem. Those that are gonna attain the atonement, eat it. Meaning that there's an association between kapara and achilat of the korban. When the Kohanim eat, the Baralim get the Kapara. And all we need here is the Kapara. This person is Mechusar Kippurim, and we need him to attain Kapara, otherwise he can't partake in the Korban HaPesach. So what are you going to say? Okay, he throws the blood on his back, and he leaves the Emurim until the next morning. You leave the Emurim until the next morning, the Kohanim can't eat from the Basar. If they can't eat from the Basar, then there's no Kapara, and we're back to square one. He hasn't done anything, hasn't accomplished anything. So, came into Eshar, since it's impossible, there's no other way to do it, assume Kamish Nitme'u Oshabdu. They made it as if it's something that's Tamei or Ne'avad or lost. Meaning, what happens in a case where the items, the Emurim, get lost? What happens in a case where the Basar gets lost? Does that mean that the Balim don't attain Kapara? We know that the Ikar Kapara for a Korban is the Dam getting on the Mizbeach. So we know everything else is just added benefits. It's the mitzvah. It's the chatchila. But b'di'evet, if the dam ends up in the mizbeach, then you got kapara. So that's true as long as something's missing. Meaning that if the chalavim are there, if the fats are there, or the emurim are there, they got to end up on the mizbeach, the kohanim can't eat. Now, if the emurim are missing for whatever reason, then we can have the tzitz mimiratzeh, and we can allow the Kohanim possibly to partake in it. Or, in a case where the Kohanim, the Chazen Shok, for whatever reason are not there, and they can't eat it, then Kapara is still attained when they don't eat it. But if it's available and they need to eat it, then they can. So our case here is a case where it's the equivalent of not being available. There's no other choice over here. We can't put it on Mizbeach because there's an Asei Dashlamah, it's blocking us. So what's the option here? To put the Emurim on Mizbeach, that's not an option. So if that's not an option, he attains Kapara without putting them on Mizbeach. And that's Big Tanya. In a case where the emurim are tamei or they get lost, the kohanim will not get the chazer shok. The pasuk says, this is the same pasuk we brought before, just it's not bringing you the first half of the pasuk, it's only bringing the second half of the pasuk, which says, mikom makom, they get it no matter what. So the kohanim get their chazen shok no matter what. It's just a question, if their emurim are available and can go on the mizbeach, they have to go first. If they're not available, then they don't have to go first. So therefore, the Kohanim can get their Chazesh Shok and eat it, and then the Kapara will be attained. That you can imagine with the number of carbon up. Even Kohanim's Rizim, they still, times that it happens that they get lost, or that they're ruined somehow. Something happened that there was confusion, and they got thrown out, or something happened to them, and they're no longer available. I mean, especially on Erev Pesach, when there's so much going on in the Mikdash, you can imagine things got confused, or there was some sort of confusion that happened. So now the Gemara continues, Rakana Rami Ktiv. Rav Kahana says, I have a steer on the psukim. The pasuk says in Parshat Mishpatim, Lo yalin chelib chagi ad boker. You may not leave over the fats of the chagi ad boker. Ad boker hu lo yalin. You're not allowed to leave over to the morning. Hakol olayla kulo yalin. But that means you could leave it all night. Uchtiv. And doesn't it say, Vikdir aleha chavei hashlamim, that all the fats, aleha shlem korbanot kulam, all the fats have to end up on the tamid shel shachar. So how is it possible that you're allowed to put the fats of the emurim on the mizbeach overnight, when they have to be finished on the Tamid Shel Shachar? Hu motiva, he proposed the question. Vehu mefarikla, and he answered the question. He proposed the answer. Tishin nuto tru, when they were left over. Meaning that the only thing that has to be on the Mizbeach during the daytime is the Dam has to get on the Mizbeach. And you have to have the ability to have placed the fats on the Mizbeach during the Tamid Shel Shachar. If you had the ability to do it, meaning that the Korban was brought at a time when you could have put the fats on the Mizbeach for the Tamid Shel Shachar, then even if you don't do it, you can finish it up at night. It just has to be done in a time period where it was possible or plausible to put the fats on the Mizbeach. That means, if you put the Dam on the Mizbeach after the Tamid Shel Ben Arvayim, since it's not possible to get the fats on the Mizbeach now with the Tamid Shel Shachar, you cannot put them on at night. But, if the Dam is sprinkled before the Tamid Shel Ben Arvayim, where it was possible to put the fats on with the Tamid Shel Shachar, even if you don't put them on, then you have the ability to put it on that night. So it just means that you have to have the accessibility or the ability and potential to put it on the Mizbeach with the Tamid Shel Shachar, but doesn't actually have to be in reality that way. It doesn't have to be actualized in that way. It can be put on at night. Now, Rami Le Rav Safra, the Rav, it's unlikely that it's Rav. It probably should be Rava. It has to do with the chronology of the Amoraim. That Rav Safra would have seen Rava makes more sense than Rav Safra seeing Rav. So it's Rami Le Rav Safra, the Rav. Ktiv, Pasuk says, Lo yalin abukar zevach hagapasach. This is actually found in Parshat Titisa. It's actually the same psukim that we're bringing from before. There are three psukim in a row that end with the same thing, which is Lo Tevashel Gedi Bichalei Vimo. So in the psukim, when it has there, it has something to do with Sukkot, something to do with Pesach, and something to do with the Bikurim or Shavuot. So in the first pasuk it says, Lo Yalin Chelv Chagiyat Boker, and Chazal later on in our Masechta Gdashin, that has to do with the Chagigat Tedvav, or to do with the Korban Chagiyah that comes with the Korban HaPesach. Then over here, Lo Yalin Boker Zevach Chagah Pasach is the pasuk that replaces that pasuk in the series in Kitisa. So you have the three pasukim found in Mishpatim, and now we're bringing the ones from Parsha Kitisa, and this is the pasuk that replaces that one, which is Lo Yalin Boker Zevach Chagah Pasach. He may not lead the Pesach over to the morning. The Boker Udu Lo Yalin Hakol Alayla Yalin. You can leave it over to the morning, but at night you can put it on. V'aktiv Olat Shabbat B'Shabbato. And don't we have a principle that olav Shabbat can be brought on Shabbat itself? V'lat chol b'Shabbat, but you can't bring the olav chol on Shabbat. V'lat chol b'Yom Tov, and you can't bring a winged korban on Yom Tov. That means on Erev Shabbat, when they brought all the korbanot, they had to get everything on the Mizbeach prior to Shabbat. Because anything that was brought on Friday could not be put on the Mizbeach at night. It happens to be that the Aruch HaShulchan brings this down, the Alocha, to justify the minhag of people who are davening Mariv early on Friday afternoon. It says, what is this business that people are davening Mariv Tarte de Satre? Like in America, where they have 7 o'clock minyan, they daven mincha, and all of a sudden they're davening in Ma'ariv. Nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda at Plag HaMincha, nothing to do with Shkia, they're just davening Ma'ariv. He goes, where does this minhag come from, davening Ma'ariv before Zman Shkia on Erev Shabbat? He says it's from this halacha. This halacha says that anything to do with Erev Shabbat had to be brought before Shabbat started. That means, what is Ma'ariv Keneged? Ma'ariv is Keneged, the Farim Ptarim, the Karmenot that are put on his Be'ach overnight. That's only true on a regular weekday, but you could take the korbanot during that day and then bring them at night on the Mizbeach. On Erev Shabbat, that's not true. Everything that was brought on Erev Shabbat had to be put on Mizbeach before Shabbat. That means that the Varim and Tarim all ended up on the Mizbeach prior to Shabbat. That means maybe Marav should be prior to Shabbat as well, because it's connected to Varim Uptarim. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's justification for the practice of people davening Mariv early. Like, obviously, I don't think he thinks it's the Chatzchila, but a way to justify that practice comes from this. But the idea being that you're not allowed to take something from Chol on Shabbat. Now, over here, once Erev Pesach is Chol. That night is Yom Tov. So what now? You left over the Chalavim or the Emurim from the Korban Pesach, and now you're putting them on at night. Wait a minute. The Korban Pesach was brought on Erev Pesach, which is Chol, and now you're putting them on the Mizbeach at night, which is Yom Tov. How could you do that? The Pasuk says, you may not bring an Olah of Chol on Yom Tov. It also says you're allowed to have the Korban Pesach go on the Mizbeach all night. So now I have a problem here between these two Pesukim. There's a stira, there's a contradiction between the Pesukim. One, tell me I can put the Pesach on all night. The other one, tell me if you have a Korban that was on a weekday, you can't put it on Yom Tov at night. So there's no problem. This question was already posed by Rabbi Ava Bar Chiya, the Rabbi Avao. And he answered him, we're dealing with Erev Pesach that was Shabbat. So Erev Pesach that was Shabbat, the Korban HaPesach is Doche Shabbat. So now, on Erev Pesach, that Shabbat, you bring the Korban HaPesach, to Chalvei Shabbat, Krevim B'Yom Tov. When it comes to the Chalavim of Shabbat, they all do go on Yom Tov because they are more chamor, it's more kodesh, and therefore the chalavim of Shabbat can be brought on Yom Tov. So if that's the case, I have a solution to my problem. It's Erev Pesach on Shabbat, Erev Pesach is on Shabbat, and then that night's Yom Tov, that I can bring the Korban Pesach all night. So this pasuk that says, V'lo yalin laboker zevach chagah pasach, implying that you can bring the Korban Pesach all night, that's in that one instance where Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbat. Then that's true. Otherwise, you have the other pasuk, which is Olat Shabbat B'Shabbato, which will restrict you from bringing the Korban Pesach on the night of Pesach. Amalei, Mishom Chavei Shabbat Krevim B'Yom Tov Anor Nikev V'Neimalei Da'ai Krab Barbasa Shkoyot B'Shabbat Hu Dichtiv. You're telling me that pasuk, Lo Yalein the Boker Zevach HaKam Pesach, is now that narrow case where the one instance where you say that Chavei Shabbat can be brought on Yom Tov, that's the one instance where that pasuk is true? The pasuk seems to say it in a generic sense. It doesn't say it limited to a case where Erev Pesach is Shabbat. I'm late. Shavke the Kra. Dehu dachik umuki menafshe. It says, what do you want me to do? The pasuk itself created the problem. The pasuk itself is a problematic pasuk. You have to come up with a solution. If you don't, meaning that I'm not imposing this on the pasuk. I'm not coming and saying, oh, this is the interpretation of the pasuk. The pasuk demands interpretation because it's in contradiction to another pasuk that we have. So now, once I demand explanation, I have to bring an explanation. Then, yes, maybe it's a stretched explanation, but the pasuk itself demands a stretched explanation because it's in contradiction with the other pasuk. So it's not a solution that I'm saying out of the thin air. I'm bringing a solution to a contradiction, and therefore it's okay to say this. Now, there is one point to be made here. The pasuk that we brought was Olat Shabbat B'Shabbato, which says that the Olat Shabbat is brought on Shabbat, but not Olat Chol on Shabbat. How do you know that that also means that Olat Chol is not brought on Yom Tov? Yom Tov is more kal than Shabbat. Just because a chol korban is not brought on Shabbat, how do you know that? It also means that an olat chol will not be brought on Yom Tov. So Tosfot proposes this question, and he says that Yesh lomar da'atik Rabbi Akiva, this is going according to Rabbi Akiva, that says, olat Shabbat, they made al chovei Shabbat shekrevim b'yom tov. That we learn from this, that Shabbat korbanot are brought b'yom tov. Mashmalei kra, how do you read the pasuk? Olat Shabbat b'shabbato. Shabbat, the first Shabbat, meaning real Shabbat, is brought b'shabbato, the second Shabbat, which refers to Yom Tov. Yom Tov is also called Shabbat in the Torah. We find that Shabbat and Yom Tov are used interchangeably in certain places. So here, the meaning of the pasuk according to Rabbi Akiva is Olat Shabbat. The Olat Shabbat is brought b'shabbato on Yom Tov. So you see the word Shabbato there is meant to mean Yom Tov. And that teaches you also that Olat Shabbat b'shabbato, the Olat of Yom Tov is brought on Yom Tov and not Olat Chol b'yom Tov. That is one solution that he brings down, but just the explanation of how we get to this idea that Olat Chol cannot be brought on Yom Tov. I'm going to stop over here because the next Mishnah continues straight through to the Gemara.